The passage this morning is from Luke 19, which Frank read for us. Jesus has come into Jerusalem. You see, Jesus has some important events in his ministry. Lazarus' resurrection from the dead, it was spectacular, absolutely spectacular. Healing the blind man was amazing. Turning water into wine was party glorious. Yet the most important events in his life up to this week, there are three. His baptism, his transfiguration, and his triumphal entry. Jesus enters the water and he identifies with sinful people. And in that event, the heavens open and a dove comes down on Jesus and a voice speaks, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Did everyone hear that? We don't know. But here Jesus is commissioned into his messianic mission. And then there is the transfiguration. Matthew, Mark, and Luke record it. Jesus drags his inner circle up the mountain, Peter, James, and John. And before their eyes, he is transfigured, transformed. The glory of divinity overtakes his humanity, and he lights up like the cross on Beasley Hill, even when it's a bit foggy. You can see it. His true nature shines through, and all of a sudden, Elijah and Moses show up. How would we respond if we were out in some barren place and all of a sudden George Washington and Abraham Lincoln showed up? I think probably we'd run down the mountain. It would freak us out. See, nobody knows what to do with Moses and Elijah there. Should they be silent? Peter wants to do something. Let's build some shelters for all these three great people. And no sooner are these words off of his lips that there's a dense fog. And when that fog lifts, it's just Jesus standing there. And there's a voice that tells those disciples, "Cup your ears towards Jesus. Listen to Jesus," they are told. Listen to Jesus. The prophets were important. Moses, the lawgiver, was important. They represent those two great bodies of Scripture. But you have heard it said, but I say to you, listen to that person, they tell him, that voice from God. Moses and the prophets said, but I say to you, things are changing and you are going to start seeing things just a bit differently or a lot differently. And so, on Palm Sunday, Jesus enters Jerusalem. Here we are. Jesus comes into the holy city in a pathetic fashion. I want to flip the images in your head this morning. There is no way to make this a victory parade. We try. We try. He is on a donkey, an ass, a beast of burden. I will not glorify this morning at all. I will not try to paint Thomas Kincaid strokes to make a confusing picture palatable. The scene is not easy to swallow, even today when we allow it into our souls. We claim that Jesus the Messiah enters Jerusalem on a dumbass donkey. Think about that. He does that to go toe-to-toe in the ring with the Roman Imperial Army riding military horses. Jesus rides a tricycle to a tank fight. He takes a 2-inch pocket knife to a fight with an army loaded with AK-47s. The scene is totally ridiculous. It's ridiculous. The message this morning is titled Bucephalus or Hee-Haw. Hee-Haw represents, of course, a donkey. Of course, I got that idea from this old dumb TV series. If you ever watched it, it was just really, it was too much to take. But Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on Hee-Haw. The king comes riding to you, Zechariah tells us, what? On a donkey. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. He, his rule will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. Kings do not ride on donkeys. Your king comes to you riding on a donkey. Presidents don't ride an AMC Gremlin. I had one of those things. My brother-in-law called it a pregnant roller skate. If God is who he says he is, and presents himself to us in ways that reflect, show, and display his nature, he, and on Palm Sunday, is shattering our vision of him. He's a donkey rider. See the nature of God. Palm Sunday is the conflict of powers. The power of might and the power of weakness clash in this cosmic battle, and we should name Palm Sunday probably, this is Absurd Sunday. If you ask me who was the most famous horse in history of the world, I would write off the one that comes to my mind is Secretariat. Secretariat. 3 years after my dad died, I was in a hotel room the day Secretariat won the Triple Crown. I was watching it on TV. If you ask me, I'd say the Triple Crown Secretariat. It wouldn't be my Uncle Fred's horse, Sassy. Sassy earned that name, honestly. That horse bucked me off when I was 10 years old. I cried so loud you would have thought I was dead. But who is likely the most famous horse in history? Bucephalus. Bucephalus. Who's Bucephalus? We know the name. It was Alexander the Great's horse. 356 to 323. You know, it took Alexander the Great 12 years to conquer the world from Greece to India. He died at the age of 32. His tutor was Aristotle. I mean, Aristotle's ethics is a masterpiece. He was a man of power, might, military prominence. He rode a war horse named Bucephalus. Who will be our God? The dude on war horse Bucephalus or the dude on a donkey? That is a question of eternity. What does Palm Sunday tell us about God and how his power is displayed? We see Jesus, thus we see God. Give us a picture of God's mighty hand and outstretched arm, Psalm 136. God's hand on Palm Sunday holds the reins of a donkey's foal. That's God's outstretched arm. It is a living parable. We need Christ's eyes to see it. I love what Dale Bruner writes in his commentary on this. Palm Sunday shows us in action who he, God, is and how he wants to be who he is among us. You know, satire uses humor and irony an exaggeration or ridicule to expose and criticize people's stupidity or vices. Particularly in the context of contemporary politics and other topical issues. I want to tell you that Palm Sunday is satire. 200 years before Palm Sunday, Simon Maccabeus rode a war horse into Jerusalem. He led armies and he defeated enemies. And after he paraded on his war horse through the streets as people waved palm branches and sang Hosanna, this is the image in the imaginations of the people. they had this idea that they had a Maccabeus coming, and they were waving palm branches. Luke doesn't include that in his story, but Matthew and Mark do. And he was a warrior on a war horse. But let me ask, why did Jesus weep as he looked over Jerusalem? Because they wanted a Simon Maccabeus, that kind of a Messiah. And Jesus wasn't going to give it to them. And get this, Jesus will never give it to us, a warhorse Messiah. He has arrived as the suffering Messiah on a donkey, and it hasn't changed, and it's never going to change. I'm not being unbiblical here. Moses remembers the salvation of God in Deuteronomy 6. The Lord brought out of Egypt with a mighty hand and outstretched arm the people of Israel. Moses was told, raise your staff, your hand, the sea will part, people will hike to safety, but the Egyptian war horses and chariots, along with the horsemen, the Egyptian military that follow you into the parted sea will be drowned. And Moses sings to the Lord, for he is exalted. The horse and its rider has been hurled into the sea. This is their history, Israel's history. It is what we prayed this morning, Psalm 20. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, or we could add some in nuclear armament. But we trust in the name of our Lord. The satire of Palm Sunday, I want you to know, it's seen in Jesus the King on a donkey's foal. It's a joke. I mean, just think of Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert celebrating Palm Sunday. This is what, if they were being satirical, this is what they would do. They would put President Trump riding a donkey into Washington, D.C. They would. How would that be received? What our president is planning right now, according to sources, is a military parade on his birthday that's going to cost $93 million in Washington. Jesus rides into Jerusalem to confront military political powers on his day, Palm Sunday, on a donkey. If President Trump does a military parade, he may. What would happen? What would people think if he rode in on a donkey? Feet scraping along the ground because it's the foal of a donkey. Proverbs 21:31 tells us, the horse is made ready for the day of battle, but victory rests with the Lord. And Isaiah pushes the envelope with us. Trust in the war horse and military is idolatry. Isaiah is clear that weapons of war will be transformed into tools that bring life, food, and community. Weapons will be turned into plowshares and pruning hooks. Or as Audrey Assad sings, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You are speaking truth to power. You are laying down our swords, replanting every vineyard till a brand new wine is poured. Your peace will make us one. Isaiah sings in chapter 2, they are full of superstitions from the east. They practice divination like the Philistines and embrace pagan customs. Their land is full of silver and gold, and there's no end to their treasures. There's prosperity everywhere. Their land is full of horses. There is no end to their chariots. Their land is full of idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their fingers have made. I mean, did you hear that? Their land is filled with horses, not donkeys, but Bucephalus, war horses, and a fleet of chariots. It is the idolatry of national security. This is all colliding on Palm Sunday. Today is not a fun celebration of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. People think that. Why is there a teardrop chapel on the Mount of Olives? Dominus Filavet, Latin, is what it's called. The Lord wept. The Lord wept. We friends have sanitized Palm Sunday. And it is an historical event that our faith in Jesus Christ calls us to live day in and day out as followers of Christ. It is a day of tears. Luke tells us that as Jesus approached the city, he saw it and he took their delusion and their confusion into his soul. And Jesus wept. He felt it. He empathized with it over the city. And it was a city that was going to torture him in just a few days. I say to us this morning, behold your God, our Redeemer Presbyterian Church. I remember standing on the Mount of Olives and meditating on the eastern gate of Jerusalem. I remember the conversation I had with Brian, our guide, professor. It was the gate Jesus passed through as cloaks were laid. It's like the front of your bulletin. Frank pointed out the picture on the front of the bulletin has kind of comic faces on the people on the side. It was the eastern gate. People laid their cloaks and palm branches as the glory of God in Jesus returns to the temple, as prophesied by Ezekiel. You see, Ezekiel saw in chapter 10 the glory, the Shekinah of God. It lifted off the ark and it left the temple. And it left out the eastern gate of Jerusalem. In chapter 43, he sees into the future. A time is coming, he said, when the glory of the Lord will return to the temple through the eastern gate. Jesus on Palm Sunday is the Shekinah glory of God returning to the temple through the eastern gate in Jerusalem. What does John say? We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. She likes my sermon. Jesus is our temple. He's the temple. He's the Lamb. He's the King. But people are now waving swords for Jesus. They aren't waving swords. They're waving palm branches. The followers of Jesus are brushing off the dirt on others while followers of the state bloody with swords. You see, the contrast between Bucephalus and Hee-Haw is seen in the military parade that came through the western gate during Passover. Pilate lived in the Roman city of Caesarea. It was on the Mediterranean Sea. And Passover was a time in Jerusalem where political turmoil could just explode. People who say that the gospel doesn't have this political undertone of needing to think through these things, they just really haven't read the Bible too carefully. Jesus upends over and over again our Democrat and Republican loyalties. Let that be said. Pilate needed to be in Jerusalem at Passover. This was a day of Jewish nationalistic celebration. He has had to show his power so that their 4th of July party would not lead to violent insurrection. This past January 6th, they had all around the Capitol, it was loaded with military. Why? Because fervor was really high. No one knew if it was going to get violent. It was exactly what Pilate did. And so he came in through the east western gate and he rode a war horse. He pompously trotted in front of a huge military parade of power. And behind him was a military of sword and war horses. And if you were thinking an unorganized group of religious fanatics could overthrow an imperial army with palm branches in hand, he would say, just look at your face in the shiny, sharp swords of those mounted on war horses. Pilate rides in on his Bucephalus from the west. Jesus rides on his donkey from the east. Notice the contrast coming together. Who's going to win? Behold your God. Who will the people choose? In just a few days, who are they going to choose? They're going to choose an insurrectionist. Barabbas was an insurrectionist. They're going to choose the one that was in for insurrection and murder. The one waving the sword. Things are changing. The religious leaders are uneasy as there is immense hype of Jesus entering the city. Jesus, tell your disciples to shut up. And Jesus knows that all people at some time are dumber than a box of rocks. And I have to admit, in my life, I have been dumber than a box of rocks more time than I care to admit. And Jesus tells these religious folk that if his followers shut up, the rocks will cry out. The rocks are not dumb. Maybe we should develop a spirituality of rocks. What will the rocks shout? My imagination says, Jesus is a donkey Messiah. He doesn't hold a sword. He holds the reins of an ass. And if you want a sword Messiah, you are barking up the wrong tree. Just keep cheering for Barabbas. There's a unique expression that I close with that only Luke gives us, and it's in verse 35. He says, they brought the donkey to Jesus and they threw their cloaks on the donkey. And then they put Jesus on the donkey. Jesus didn't climb on the donkey. Luke tells us the disciples hoisted Jesus up and put him on it. Have we put Jesus on Bucephalus? Or have we put Jesus on a donkey? Because Jesus will only be a donkey Messiah. In the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would apply these words from the Gospel of Luke about the life of our Master. I pray that you would give us Holy Spirit Jesus eyes to see into the tensions of this day. You would give us a heart with Jesus who can climb up Beasley Hill and look out over our city and weep because of the suffering and pain of the people in the city that they don't even understand. Help us to climb up Mount Rainier and look over the United States of America and weep because we don't understand. Give us Jesus hearts. And then help us to lift him up and put him on a donkey.